God bless you everyone, and welcome to this video we're doing today. And in the last few videos we learned to receive anything from God, the first thing we need to do is find out what is available. Then we learned about how to receive that which is available. And once we receive from God, then we learn what to do with what we've received from God. Okay, how to utilize the things that God has blessed us with. And in this teaching, I want to look at faith and fear. What motivates you? Is it faith? Is it believing? Or is it fear? Now we know that faith, believing, comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Fear comes by hearing and hearing the world, what the world is promoting, what the world is saying. Like for an example, we've just recently seen on the news about Russia and US and UK and France attacking Syria, chemical plants and all this stuff, and all these things build fear. And then if you look on YouTube, you find so many videos about this is World War III, fear mongering, building fear in people. And these things put fear in the hearts of people that, you know, we're going to have a nuclear war, that everything is going to go wrong, that we're going to lose our life, that the economy is going to crash. All these things build fear into people's hearts. And when you've got fear, then you will act in fear and you will act the wrong way, which is going to produce wrong souls. And God wants us to have right results in our life. And faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The word of God and what we believe has authority over these negative things in this world. Now, Satan is the god of this world, and he controls the systems of this world, and he promotes fear through the systems of this world. He's the one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus Christ said, "I am come that you might have life and have it more and abundantly." And God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And the reason why God wants us to be saved is so that we don't have eternal death, but we have eternal life. And he wants us to know the truth of his word, which will keep us free from fear, so that we can truly live in faith without fear of what's happening in this world, that we can live above this world. And God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of his word, through the knowledge of his son Jesus Christ, and what's been made available to us. So we are either motivated by faith, you know, godly believing, or we're motivated by fear. And fear comes in many shapes, forms, and is very subtle. We could be doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons. So what motivates you? What are the things that gets you to be afraid or to have faith? No, what do? What are you listening to? See, what you're listening to will give a result of faith or fear in your heart. And if you're listening to the media, if you're listening to what the world is promoting, you know, you can't eat this food, you can't eat that food, you need to take regular exercise, which is a good thing. Okay, but they do it from the side of fear. If you don't exercise, you're going to get a heart disease, you know, you're going to die early and all this kind of stuff. All these things promote fear into us. And but what does God say about all these things? What does God say about faith? What does God say about fear? And the only way you're going to know is if you go to the scriptures and find out what God says. And then when we start saying what God says, then we can have great faith and we can recognize fear in our life. You know, you might have fear in your life, but it's disguised. It's disguised in attitudes and attributes that you may have learned through growing up. You may be doing things because you feel, well, I better do this, because if I don't do this, this is going to happen. Or you may feel, well, I better not say that because it might not be politically correct. Can you see where fear can come in? Even for a believer, we got to be careful what we say because we might offend someone. Well, that's fear. And God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We're bold. Believers are bold, and they say what needs to be said. And, you know, some people don't like that kind of attitude. But, see, that's honesty. And we got to have honesty, and we got to have integrity. We can use the wisdom of God in situations, but we don't have to back down on the truth because we're afraid of the consequences of what someone else might say back to us, or we might get in trouble. If you're telling the truth and you're helping people, then you need to say what the truth is. And that takes courage. And God is the one that gives you courage. He's given you a spirit of power, of love and a sound mind. And we're going to look at 2 Timothy 1:7. And it says in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God have not given us a believer," someone that's born again of the Spirit of God, someone that has said Jesus is Lord and believed in their heart that God raised them from the dead, that they've turned from the former life to live a life which is now abundant before God, that they're walking and being led by the Spirit of God. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear," cowardness, timidity, "but of power." This power is dunamis, the power that we received when we got born again, "and of love." This is the love of God which energizes faith within a believer when they're believing the word of God to them. "And of a sound mind." See, this is self-control. When your mind is sound, it hasn't got any room for fear. Okay, fear will cause your mind to be divided. It will cause you to shrink back. It will cause you to be just confused in your mind. And God is not the author of confusion, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Fear will just really encase you and snare you. Fear gets you thinking the wrong things, saying the wrong things, and acting the wrong way. Fear can paralyze the joy out of your life and your freedom in your daily living, in your relationships. No, don't let fear stop you from being the person who God has called you to be, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. My wife done a teaching called "Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled," and it's on the blog and it's also on the YouTube channel. And it's a great teaching, because situations come up in life where we're tempted to fear. And see, Satan is the god of this world, and he orchestrates the things in this world to get a believer to live in fear. And when a circumstance has come up, we can respond in the wrong way, or we can respond in the right way. And if you listen to that teaching, it's great encouragement. If we respond in the wrong way, then our heart becomes troubled. Then we become full of fear, we become full of worries, and we become full of doubts. We start worrying about the situation. We start doubting if there's ever a way out of the situation or over the situation. But God says faith, when a believer is walking in faith, they live above and overcome the world. We overcome the challenges that come up in this life. Because we're a believer doesn't mean to say we're not going to get challenges, we're not going to be confronted with the things that could cause us to fear. We're going to have those challenges. But if you've got the word of God in your heart and mind, and you're gearing yourself up with what God says, then you'll start to recognize fear when it is in front of you. And God has not given you the spirit of fear. I want to look at some biblical definitions of fear, which include this. So fear, the outward manifestation of fear, is terror, fright, and dismay. This will get someone to run away from what they're afraid of. And God does not want you to run away from what you may be afraid of, but he wants you to stand in faith and confront whatever it is that is in front of you that is trying to intimidate you to come down in faith and to have fear. Fear is also moral cowardness and timidity. And fear can cause you to shake throughout, to shake violently, and this inspires terror within the heart. And God is not a terrorist, okay? Satan's the terrorist. He's the one that inspires this fear. Like, we see all these terrorists going around blowing things up, everyone being cautious, which we need to be. We need to be vigilant. The word of God says that we're to be sober, we're to be vigilant, because our adversary walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But that doesn't mean to say we live in fear. We're just to be awake. We need to be awake with the truth of the word of God, of who we are, and we need to be led by the Spirit of God, and then we'd be wise in the situations, because God is leading us. Why? Because we're trusting. See, the attributes of faith is trust and confidence. Trust in the word of God, trust in God, and a confidence in God that he is able and willing to do what he promises in his word to do. When we believe it, then God will go ahead and perform the promises in his word to us. In the Old Testament, there's some other biblical definitions of fear. One is to turn aside, okay, and to live in fear of something evil happening to us. God doesn't want you to be worried what may happen to you, because he's got you in his hands. He holds you in the palm of his hand. He has his head of protection around you, and he's going to look after you. And when your faith is in that, when you're trusting the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but acknowledging God in all your ways, then you're going to be walking with great confidence, knowing that you have a great future ahead of you, that your day is blessed, that you're protected, that your family is blessed, that you're prospering in health and in strength and in energy and in resources for living and life. This is the real heart of God for the people. And we can see this all through the scriptures. All you have to do is go to the scriptures and look for these things, and you'll see them because they're there. And we're going to look at a few records today that will encourage this in you. See, on the negative side of faith, see, faith has an opposite side, a flip side. So faith is confidence and trust in God's word, that God will do what he said he's going to do, is a confidence and trust in God's love for you, his care for you. And on the negative side of faith, so faith in reverse is fear. And it produces results for us, just like faith produces results for us. But it produces the negative kind of results for us. So on the negative side, or on the side of fear, is worries and doubts. You know, you start to doubt a situation, and then you start to worry about the situation, and this issues in being afraid. And God does not want a believer to be afraid. You may be challenged with a situation, and your initial reaction may be, oh, what's this? But when you get your mind back to the Word of God and start saying what God says, and start acting upon the Word of God, and that you fix your mind, you stay your mind on God, and you start saying what he says, then you will overcome any fear that tries to challenge you. In Proverbs 29, if you go to Proverbs 29, we'll read some records about fear. And it says, in Proverbs 29 and in verse 25, it says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. So you can either have the fear of man, okay, what the world is saying will happen to you, what the world, what's going on in this world, or you can have your confidence in God's word to you and your confidence in God. And God says when you put your trust in him, you're going to be safe. Nothing's going to hurt you. Even if challenges come up against you, even if situations, you know, come against you, when your confidence is in God, knowing that he's going to take care of you, he's going to deliver you, then, you know, that safety is there for you. God has his hand of protection around you. He has a hedge around each of his kids. And that faith keeps that hedge strong with no breaks in it. But I tell you, fear will put some little holes in that hedge of protection that God's got around you. And it allows the enemy to go and work against you. And Satan is against you. And he wants to rack and ruin your life. The scriptures tell us this. Like I've mentioned, John 10:10 says, the thief, referring to Satan, the god of this world, cometh but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Satan is only interested in racking and ruining your life. But Jesus Christ said, I am come that they, referring to believers, might have life, and that they might have it more than abundantly. In Jeremiah 49, we'll read another record here. I'm only looking at a few records, and I'm just going over this briefly, just covering this subject of fear. If you want to know more, you can study the Word yourself. You can go to the Word, or you can ask questions, send us an email, lawrencetor@runbox.com, that's my email address, and we'll help you, we'll provide answers to you from the Word of God as much as we know how to, and according to our understanding. In Jeremiah 49, verse 24, it says, Damascus is waxed feeble and turneth herself to flee. So when we wax feeble, when we get weak, we flee. And fear hath seized on her. See, don't let fear seize on you. Recognize who your enemy is, know who your enemy is, and know what God says about that enemy. Know that you are above that enemy, you're above that situation. Don't become weak. Don't wax feeble, okay? And don't turn yourself and flee, but you stand strong because God is with you and God is for you. And it says, and fear hath seized her, made her stop from moving, no, limited, you know, unable to do anything, unable to act, you know, because of terror. Okay, and anguish and sorrow have overtaken her as a woman in travail, or a woman that's in labour. So you don't let fear paralyse your life, because God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. Now I want to look at a record in the Word of God, which is really wonderful, and we just briefly look at it, and then you can read the whole thing yourself. It is a really great record, and it's in the book of Job. And Job was a man that loved and respected God with all his heart. Job was honest and had a strong moral principles, and Job had moral integrity, but he was afraid that his children may have dishonored God, and he continually worried about this and acted on his fear by offering sacrifices to God on their behalf in case they had sinned against God. So this fear in the life of Job opened the door for the devil to cause devastation in the life of Job. So fear gives Satan access to go to work against you, because then your faith is not in God. You're worried about everything, and then God is limited to what he can do when you're not believing. So fear activates Satan, the devil, the god of this world, and faith activates God, the creator of the heaven and the earth. And we get faith by believing the promises of God to us, knowing what God says about who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, what we can do in Christ, the authority that God's given us. We need to understand that God's given us great authority, and authority is released through the words that we speak and acting upon the word of God to us. That's having faith. So we need to release our faith through our words and through our actions. If we say we believe, then we will do. And if we say we believe, then we will speak that way also. It becomes part of your life. You build faith into your heart, or you're going to build fear into your heart. Fear comes from wrong teaching, wrong information, okay, or it comes through ignorance, that you're just ignorant of something. And God doesn't want us to be ignorant. That's why he's written his word for us, so that we can see what God says about life and living. And when we turn our attention to God and we start to believe what his word says to us, then we can truly start to get momentum in our life. We can start building faith in our heart, and we can start seeing godly results that God wants you to have. God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to have direction in your life. He wants you to have focus. He wants you to be fruitful. This is the heart of God. Satan's heart ain't that for you. He wants to rack and ruin every part of your life. And we're going to read again in the book of Job this about this wonderful man that really did love God, but he had fear in their life. And believers can have fear if they don't keep their heart in check. You know, check areas in your life where you may have fear. Now, don't fear that I might have fear, right? But, you know, there might be subtleties in there where we've allowed wrong thinking to come in, thinking it's the right thing and thinking it's godly when it ain't. So we need to be sharp. We need to be diligent. We need to check ourselves and examine ourselves whether we're in the faith, whether we really believe in God, or whether we got mental assent, whether we become, you know, slow and lazy in our minds and hearts. God wants you to be active in your thinking. He wants you to meditate upon his word. He wants you to confess his word. He wants you to declare his word to others. Let people know about the goodness and the power of God. And this is what we do. This is our heart. This is our life. We live this thing. This is not just getting another teaching together. I live this thing every day to the best of my God-given ability within me. And I don't do it in my strength, but I do it in the strength of God, because it's his ability in me. And so, and God can do the same for you, because he's not a respecter of persons. Okay, but he respects faith and believing. In Job chapter 1, we're going to read this record. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. It means he had moral integrity, and one that feared God. Now, he didn't have, oh, I'm afraid of God. He had, this word fear is like a reverence. He had a great love and a great respect for God. He paid attention to what he had to do in his life, what God wanted him to do, and he applied these things in his life and eschewed evil. So every appearance of evil he turned away from. He done the right thing at all costs. And so that's what God wants us to do. We can do the right thing, live righteously according to what God says. And there was a man, and there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. So God had really blessed Job and his family. and he had seven sons, and he had three daughters, and God really wants us to have, you know, great family life. He wants us to be blessed in our relationships, in our family. And we can really have this. His substance, what Job possessed, also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men in the East. See, it is the absolute will and heart of God for us to be abundant and prosperous and blessed. God wants this for all of us. And now we know that God wants that for us, then we can expect these things from God as we've set our heart to live, unto God, to do the things that He wants us to do, to be led by His Spirit, and to, you know, just say what God says and to follow out what He wants us to do, then we're going to really be prosperous, because that's the will and heart of God. It's not that the more religious or more spiritual you get, that you get, you know, live in poverty, that you're living down in life. God doesn't want believers to live in poverty. And I know that we can look around at Christians and different believers, because they've been taught wrongly. They think they got to go around in rags. They think Jesus Christ walked around in rags. We didn't. Okay, so you do your own research on that. He didn't walk around in rags. He had the best, because He was God's best and you're God's best. Okay, and God supplies every single need for you when you believe Him. He is our sufficiency in all things. In verse 4 it says, "And His sons went and feasted in their house every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them." They was enjoying life. They was enjoying this abundance that God had given to them. "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, 'It may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' Thus did Job continually." See, here we see that Job had a fear that his children were dishonoring God in some way in their hearts. So he acted on this by offering sacrifices to God, just in case, just to cover them, you know. So this fear he done continually in his heart, and this opened up the door for the God of this world, Satan, to attack Job, because we continue to read. In verse 6 it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan come also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Whence comest thou?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. See, this is how the God of this world operates. He's just, God has exposed Satan in this record for how he operates and how he moves. "And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and one that escheweth evil?' Then Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Does Job fear God or respect God for nothing?'" He ain't doing it for nothing. You know, you've blessed him, you've given him all these things. That's why he's fearing you or respecting you. And in verse 10 it says, "Hast thou," and Satan then shows what God has done for Job, "hast thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the works of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." See, this is the will of God. That is, he's got a hedge of protection around you. Okay, he's given you a great family, and he's protected you on every side. He's blessing the works. That's what God does for believers. He blesses the works of our hands, and he increases our substance, because this is the heart of God. Verse 11 says, Satan said this, "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." So basically Satan was kind of tempting God, saying, "Well, you take everything away that you blessed him with, and he ain't going to, you know, he's not going to reverence you. He's in it for the money," type of thing. This is what some people say about other people. Okay, what does verse 12 say? "And the Lord said unto Satan, 'Behold, all that he have is in thy power. Only upon himself put forth not thine hand.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord." See, the things that Job had, the material stuff, was in the power of Satan, because Satan is the god of this world, and he has access to the things of this world, and he can rack and ruin it, right? Okay, but unless God's got his hand of protection around those things, right? And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were ploughing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabbateans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and only I am alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and have burnt up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. Only I am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out of three bands fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servant with the edge of the sword, and only I am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young man, and they are dead, and only I am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. You see, Job's fear opened the door and allowed the enemy to come in to steal, kill, and destroy from his life. And only did these things happen, and it happened in one day that this devastation came. But he was also plagued with boils and sicknesses and stuff, everything over him. You just read the record yourself. But these things didn't come from the one true God, but the God of this world. And fear opened the door for the God of this world to operate against Job. God's heart, in contrast to that, was to bless Job, was to increase Job, was to give him great family, great wealth, happy life. God wanted him to have a blessed life, and God gave him that blessed life because Job put God first, apart from this fear that he had about his kids sinning. So we can see that the devastation of fear can bring. In Job chapter 3, verse 25, and again, I'm just going over this record briefly, but go and read the record. Go and read the book of Job, Job chapters 1, 2, and 3, and you can read the rest of it. It's really fantastic eye-opener that God has exposed the God of this world, that Satan runs the systems of this world. He can control weather. He can control the things that happen in the environments. Why? Because he's the God of this world. But when a believer is under the authority of God, walking as a believer should walk, believe in God, trust in God, then Satan can't touch the believer. So you have authority, you have protection when you keep God first, when you keep your heart right with God, and when you're saying what God says, then this releases the blessings of God into your life and the protection of God in your life. But when we have fear, it just opens the door for that Satan to come and steal, kill, and destroy. But you have authority even over him. But God wants you to know these things so that you can know how to act, how to believe, and where the attacks come from, where the blessings come from. He wants you to see the difference between him and the God of this world, Satan, who is below your feet and is under the feet of Christ and he's under the feet of you. In Job 3:25, we see a wonderful record set like a diamond that really shows us what fear does. And Job said this, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. What you fear the most, what you're continually thinking about, saying about, can come to you, can bring devastation into your life. Okay, not everything that goes wrong in your life is based on fear. Okay, there's circumstances and situations that are caused, that can come against you. Okay, but when you're in faith, when you're believing God, when you have that confidence and trust, then God goes to work and he keeps you safe. He takes care of you. Okay, it's like the disciples after Jesus Christ was crucified. When Jesus Christ was arrested, all the disciples fled him and left him on his own. And then they seen Jesus Christ whipped and crucified. And then they hid themselves in the house because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders. And in John 20, 19 says this: "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut for where the disciples were assembled," see, this is Jesus' followers here, the believers, "they were assembled for fear of the Jews." They shut the doors, they locked those doors because they were afraid of the Jews, that they were going to come after them and do the same thing what they'd done to Jesus. But Jesus came and stood in the midst, because he'd already been resurrected, and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." See, this is the heart of God. God says, "Peace to you." You see, if you've got fear, you've got no peace. And God doesn't want you to have that in your life. He wants you to have faith. He wants you to have confidence. He wants you to have trust in his word, trust in him that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And when we start to walk and get into relationship with God, then we know that God is faithful and that he never lets us down, ever lets us down, when we're believing him. And faith puts God to work. Fear puts Satan to work. So who are you putting to work in your life? Now you've got this information. If you're a new person, then if you want to find out more, then contact us. We'll help you. We'll share the word with you. We'll encourage you. This is our heart, to help people, because God has helped us and we want to give back. And we know that God's real. We know his power is real. We know his word is truth. We've tried and tested it in our life. And God is for you, and he wants you to see that he loves you and he cares about you. I just want to look at one more record before we finish off here. And see, fear can also hinder you from doing what God's really called you to do. Okay, the responsibility that God has given you. He's given every believer a responsibility to look to him, to trust him, and also to steward the things that God has blessed us with. And in Luke chapter 9, we'll read this record from first 12. It said, "He said, therefore, a certain nobleman," so Jesus was given this parable, "he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Look after this until I've come. Verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto to him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how each man have gained by trading." So he gave him money to trade and to make more money. Okay, to, you know, to be profitable, to be fruitful. Verse 16. Then came the first saying, "Lord, thy pound have gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good and good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. You've been faithful, there's the fruit of your faithfulness, so now I'm going to give you more responsibility. You can have authority over 10 cities. Verse 18, and the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound have gained 5 pound. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee." He was afraid of the guy. "Because thou art an astute man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou did not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was a astute man, taking up that I lay down not, and reaping where I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou the money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury, with interest." Okay, he wanted to be profitable, and this guy didn't. He just got that pound and he put it somewhere so that no one could touch it, and he returned the pound, thinking he'd done the right thing. And he said unto him that stood by them, take from him the pound and give it to him that have 10 pound. And they said unto him, Lord, he have 10 pound. For I say unto you that unto any one which have shall be given, and from him which have not, even that he have shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. So this guy's fear stopped him from being fruitful. Don't let fear stop you from being fruitful in your walk with God and what God has entrusted for you to do. The biggest thing God's entrusted to us is the ministry and word of reconciliation. In other words, to carry out the same works that Jesus Christ done, to speak the word of God, to speak this good news, the gospel of Christ, to other people, to be a witness, to go and tell them of the power and love of God. Okay, when we don't speak God's word, it's like burying that pound. God wants us to share our faith. He wants us to be a witness. He wants us to reach out to those that are sat in darkness. He wants us to have fruit of people, new people coming into the kingdom of God, because we've preached it. We've used our ministry of reconciliation, that we've demonstrated the power of God by healing and by delivering people and setting them free, bringing them from darkness to light. So these are the things I wanted to share. There's a lot more I could have said about fear in this topic, but I just want to keep it short and sweet and give you a few examples so that you can understand that, you know, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And God wants you to be